Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket today, a few more words on the Bill Cosby decision. Second, Lori Vallow's hearing was suddenly vacated. Third, LA cops blow up a neighborhood. Hear how they did it. A district attorney in Dallas gets shot down again. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. We have a great show for you. Before we get to that, if you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button as well as the little bell so that you can receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. All right, yesterday when we did our show, the Bill Cosby story was breaking, and we basically said, hey, if you go back and look at our old videos, we thought this may be an issue. Well, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court cited an oral agreement between the prosecutor early on in the Bill Cosby case, stating that there was a non-prosecution agreement. There was even a hearing held regarding what was said, who said it, when. Although it wasn't memorialized, the then district attorney, Bruce Castor Jr., stated that, hey, we told everybody, we had a press conference. Everybody knew that this is what was taking place. We were not going to prosecute Bill Cosby because we had concerns about the witness's credibility, the strength of the evidence in that particular case. But he said, hey, we won't prosecute. Bill Cosby can be deposed, and then the civil case will go forward. Not sure why district attorneys are getting involved in that, but apparently he thought that there was some benefit at the time. Then, 10 years later, new district attorney comes in and says, I wasn't bound to any of those agreements. Nope. Well, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, yes, you are. And the court described what the prosecutors did in this particular case as a bait and switch, basically telling Mr. Cosby, you have immunity in that deposition. It won't be used against you. And then they said, oh, sorry, now that we got all this good information, no, you don't. That's a bait and switch. And it carries over from one prosecutor to another. And what can I tell you about this as it relates to real life? Well, your word matters, okay? If you are a prosecutor, if you are a defense attorney, your word matters. If you say you're going to do something, and this is what the deal is, then that's what the deal is. And you better memorialize it so that somebody else who picks up that case file down the road knows what the agreement is. Now, I'm not saying that Bill Cosby is a great guy or even that he is innocent. He's clearly put himself in some very compromising situations, but the rule of law needs to apply to everybody, and it cannot be politically motivated. As you may recall, this all kind of took place at the height of the Me Too movement. That's a great movement, okay? But you can't substitute the law for your emotions. We've talked about this repeatedly. The other thing that the court was concerned about in the Bill Cosby matter was the 404B evidence. We've talked about 404B evidence all the time. I'm telling you, 404B evidence was drafted. The rules of evidence were drafted so that you can get into stuff when basically the prosecutor's case sucks, okay? And I'm telling you this from a defense attorney perspective. Yes, you can consider that for whatever purposes, but I'm telling you, if a prosecutor's case was so strong and so overwhelming, they wouldn't need to bring in 404B evidence. And why is that? Because 404A of the rules of evidence clearly states that you can't bring in bad character evidence, okay? Each and every defendant has a right to be charged on the crime charged, not what he did 10, 15, 20 months, 20 years ago. It's based upon what he did here. The defendant may be guilty of all those other things, but to bring that in and say, well, he did it before, he must have done this particular allegation, that is what they refer to as propensity evidence. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. It just defies fundamental fairness. And if the prosecutor had a strong case, they wouldn't have to come in and say, well, Judge, it's not propensity evidence. We're just going to toe the line and we're going to say it's for identity purposes. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Or absence of mistake. Oh, yeah, maybe that one too. The legal standard has become on 404B evidence, and I think it's starting to change. Not only in this Pennsylvania decision, but other decisions I've seen, because it crosses the line and it clouds giving somebody a fair trial. When you have people talking about what you did 20 years ago, has nothing to do with what you did that particular day. So if you hear of a prosecutor saying, we have 404B evidence, the one thing that should come to your mind is the prosecutor's case sucks. If they didn't need 404B evidence because their case was great, they wouldn't bring it in, right? 404B evidence is certainly there for impeachment purposes. If a defendant got up and said, I'm absolutely innocent, I've never done anything like this before in my life, bam, then you get to bring it in. But you don't get to bring it in until the defense raises the issue by saying, I'm a great guy, never done it before. So that's where it is on 404B evidence. Now, how does this relate to other cases that are going on out there? Well, remember Ghislaine Maxwell? She had that guy named Jeff who pled guilty when he was looking at a federal case, and then he pled guilty in state court to some solicitation charges. He had a non-prosecution agreement by his plea agreement saying that neither he nor anyone associated with him, whether named or unnamed, would be charged in federal court. Now, we'll see what the court does with those motions for Ghislaine Maxwell, but I think you maybe even have a stronger case for Ghislaine Maxwell than you did for Bill Cosby, because it was actually memorialized for Ghislaine Maxwell. And there's also information to suggest that the then United States attorney that cut that deal, Mr. Acosta, sent that agreement all the way up to the then attorney general to give its stamp of approval. So how would the Southern District of New York not be bound by an agreement by the United States attorney in Miami when it's been approved by the main man at justice? We'll see how that shakes out. Now, another case where this similar type of situation may shake out is, that's right, that guy named Harvey. Remember, he's in New York, had a bunch of allegations, then they had a bunch of 404B evidence brought in from people that weren't charged. That's right, they used it to try to show modus operandi under 404B. The defense objected, the court allows it in, gets a conviction. It's going to have to go up on appeal. And like we've discussed in the past, the good thing about appeals are the appellate court only gets the cold, hard record. That's it. No emotion, no drama in the courtroom, nothing. Nothing where the judge is trying to appease everybody and split the baby in the courtroom to make sure that everybody either feels somewhat satisfied. That's not the way the law has ever been done, and it's never the way the law should be. And that's why you have appellate courts, because as always, the law should be removed from the emotion of the fight, the battle, so to speak. Apply the law to the facts. I once heard now deceased Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, and he said, if you are a good judge, you don't always get the result you want. And if you always get the result you want, you're a bad judge, because you're making decisions, you're making conclusions and figuring out how to get to that decision. And the example he gives is the, I believe it's called the McKinley case, which is the flag burning case where they said it was protected speech to burn the United States flag. And Justice Scalia said, hey, I'm offended by people burning the United States flag. However, that is the epitome of free speech, political speech, and we are not and should not criminalize it. He personally was offended by it, but he said we had to apply the law to the facts. That's it. He didn't like the decision, but that's what the law required him to get to. I wish more judges applied that theory and actually did it the correct way. Next on the docket, as you may recall, Lori Vallow had a hearing set today at 11 a.m. We were ready to bring it to you. This was going to be on the hearings regarding the motion to compel discovery and sanctions filed by Mr. Means. Well, it was vacated at the last second. Been some reports that maybe somebody was involved in an accident. Who knows? Maybe they resolved it in chambers. We hope everyone's okay if that's the case. And as soon as they schedule the next hearing, we will bring it to you. Next on the docket, this next story where the LA cops basically blew up a neighborhood, and you can't believe what they did, kind of explains the world around us today. All right, let's take a look at it. The Los Angeles Police Department bomb squad was attempting to detonate illegal fireworks. Now, I get it. Fireworks are dangerous. Fireworks can start fires. They can poke somebody's eye out. Yes, they're dangerous. I get it. But maybe somebody who's my age recalls having pop bottle rocket fights with your brothers and friends and literally holding them in your hand and shooting them off. I get it. It was dumb. It was stupid. But it's called growing up. You learn from those types of things. But now everybody must think if you have fireworks, it is a gateway crime and you're probably going to blow up something greater. Who knows? Or maybe you're just enjoying it. You know, it was kind of done around the whole 4th of July thing, celebrating our freedom, all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, everyone's always trying to protect everybody from themselves and from everything. All right, let's get to the story. LA bomb squad trying to detonate illegal fireworks. Right? Because you can't have that. Scary, dangerous, dangerous. Anyway, in the process, the bomb squad officers were in the process of, you know, blowing these up. And it was some 5,000 pounds of illegal fireworks. Now, they were doing this just last night. And some say that the fireworks were being stored in its bomb squad semi-truck as a precautionary reason. It's not exactly sure why, but when the bomb squad detonated the fireworks inside the iron chamber of its semi-truck, well, a complete and total catastrophic failure of that containment vehicle took place. According to the police, and I quote exactly, quote, clearly protocols were followed and pursued, but something happened in that containment vehicle that should not have happened, and we don't know why. Now, the blast was caught on video, and you can see it wreaked a little bit of havoc. 17 people were injured, 10 officers, 7 civilians, including 3 with serious but not life-threatening injuries. The blast also damaged several homes and displaced as many as 9 families. Now, the 27-year-old man who was the culprit of all these illegal fireworks, he is in custody. Why? Because he's busted on suspicion of reckless and malicious possession of a destructive device. Of course, you have to remember these were sold somewhere, and you can't buy the good fireworks like here in Colorado. You got to drive to Wyoming where they're legal. But needless to say, he's in custody. Why, you may ask? Why is somebody in custody like that? Because don't we let out violent criminals in California for just about everything, given a personal recognizance bond? Why, yes, we do. But apparently when you make the police look stupid, guess how much the bond is? $500,000. That's right. $500,000 for fireworks. And yet people that have committed serious felonies against people with violent crime are getting personal recognizance bonds. You tell me why the world is not going crazy, particularly in California. Let's take a quick recess so you can think about it. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, the district attorney gets shut down. The Harris County District Attorney's Office has got shut down not once, but twice. They tried to prosecute a doctor by the name of Dr. Hassan Gokul. And we brought you this story because he was accused of administering COVID-19 vaccinations to people that basically didn't meet the criteria at the time. The doctor said that he did in fact give the vaccines because he did not want the opened vial to be basically be wasted. And the doctor was arrested and charged with theft. Well, and of course he got a complaint to the medical board, which they dismissed it and said that he acted within the appropriate protocols. The judge did not find probable cause when he reviewed the arrest affidavit for Dr. Gokul. And in fact, he stated that the prosecutor's probable cause complaint was riddled with sloppiness and errors. So a district attorney, never wanting to be told that they're wrong, what did they promptly do? You dismiss my complaint. I will take this to the grand jury. Well, the grand jury voted not to deliver a true bill or an indictment against the good doctor. Now, the Harris County District Attorney's Office issued a case and said, we respect the decision of the grand jury. In every case, evidence, not public opinion, is the guiding principle of our work. Really? Just remember this, ladies and gentlemen. District attorneys are elected officials. They're politicians. They will do what is politically expedient for them. It's not about justice for them. It's about politics. Most district attorneys have desires for greater political office. Think about how many people you see in Congress, in the Senate, that have been former prosecutors. They use that as a stepping stone because they want to be perceived as tough on crime, defending the people. That's right. They're supposed to represent the people. They're political animals. Never forget that. They simply use it as a stepping stone, and they will do what they take. They will do what they have to do to get to that next level. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Rafael Woloski, 18. He was arrested on felony charges for allegedly trying to burglarize homes in Vero Beach, which is in Florida. Woloski was apparently carrying a small knife when he was apprehended, and when he was interviewed, said yes, he did burglarize the homes. And according to the affidavit, stated that he was doing this because he needed to get money for college. That's what they refer to as mitigation. Not a defense, but mitigation. He also claimed that, quote, the devil kept tempting him to steal. That's right. That's right. Blame it on the devil. Anyway, Mr. Woloski is charged with armed burglary. He has three counts, and he's being held on a $75,000 bond. Now, the good thing is, while Mr. Woloski is in custody, he can study, get some of that college credit perhaps, and maybe he can go to Bible study and keep the devil away. All right. And Mr. Woloski, if you are the dumb criminal contestant of the week, and you may be pulling ahead, I'm not going to lie, although the spicy chicken sandwich guy is kind of getting my vote at this point, you could win a Crime Talk mug. Now, if you would like a Crime Talk mug and not want to become a dumb criminal contestant, simply hit the link below. It takes you right to Teespring, and you can get more than just mugs. There's lots of cool stuff. There's even a couple of great Miss Winnie the Bulldog t-shirts on there and mugs themselves. It's worth checking out. Go do it. If you want to buy a mug, you want to buy a shirt, great. If you don't, that's okay too. All right, That's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.